Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Outer Sanctum is recorded on the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to their elders, past and present.
Good plan, good plan. Who thought of this one?
You're listening to the Outer Sanctum podcast.
There is a moment in time in the history of the AFL.
In from the side, Houghton. She was surrounded by blue jumpers.
Groundbreakers, history makers.
Lucy Race.
Hi, Tess. It's us on the fifth quarter.
Here we are. What are we doing? Just talking about dogs, talking about our lives.
How's the week? Talking about the footy.
How's the week and how are you? Very loaded questions in 2022, and something I want to ask our guest today. You know, Lucy, I always bang on about being a Freo fan, and I know my Tigers always number one in my heart, but Freo, I just love them. That AFLW team is so special. They're having so much fun. They're doing gymnastics on the field. I feel like they deserve to be spoken about more. So instead of maybe just talking the talk about being a Freo fan, we've got to walk the walk. We've got to get ourselves one.
Absolutely. And I thought, who better than to get the new captain, Hayley Miller, drafted by Fremantle with their first selection back in 2016. She was the fourth overall draft pick in that inaugural women's draft. So she's been around for such a long time. That sounds terrible saying that. Doesn't mean you're old. It just means that you're experienced. And she's the two-time winner of the WAWFL Best and Fairest Award. She's played the equal most games for Fremantle, an elite midfielder, captain this season, a pod sister, and my absolute favourite Hayley Miller fact is that she wears number 19, which is my favourite lucky number. So why don't we give her a call?
Let's do it.
Hello.
Hayley, it's Tess and Lucy here from the Outer Sanctum. How are you going?
Hey, guys. I'm great. Thank you. How are you?
Pretty good.
Are you quarantining? Is that what's happening right now?
Yes, I am. Currently, I'm in an Airbnb down in Mandurah, which is about an hour south of Perth. I've got the view of the ocean, but I can't go there, which is a real tease, to be honest.
That's tough. Would you rather have like a view of a brick wall or a view of the ocean?
No, I think I'll take the view of the ocean any day over the brick wall, but it is a bit of a tease.
It's very Victorian of me, but I'm jealous of you being even in an Airbnb. I haven't been away from my house for like 3 years. I'm like, wow, you can see the ocean. It's amazing.
It's
amazing.
It's a luxury then, isn't it?
It's a total luxury. How did you end up, in an Airbnb an hour away from Perth?
Well, I live normally with two other people. So if I was to go home there, either they have to move out or they have to quarantine the same as what I do. So I wasn't going to do that to my poor housemates. So, and a lot of the girls, I think there was most of us are in the same situation. So the reason why it's an hour south of Perth is because there just isn't that many Airbnbs with nice backyards or whatnot, because you don't want to be in an apartment. Well, number one, you can't be in an apartment where you've got to go up and down lifts. But yeah, to be somewhere where you've got a little bit of space is, yeah, certainly important in quarantine. So yeah, we're in an Airbnb in Mandurah.
And are you by yourself or have you got some teammates with you?
I've got my vice captain, Ange Stannett, with me, and yeah, she's easy, very easy to live with. So yeah, we're doing all right.
Oh, that's good.
It's like the captain, the leader house.
It is a little bit.
How are you exercising and things like that? What's your regime and to get through the days?
Yeah, well, we're actually able, we've got exemptions to train, so we can leave. We have to go straight, most direct route to Optus. So we're training at Optus Stadium. So we go direct route there for a couple of hours and then direct route back here. So, you know, that takes a couple of hours towards the end of the day because some girls are still working, so they can't do it in the middle of the day to break up the day, unfortunately. But yeah, the rest of the time we're kind of just, Ange and I have found a little walking route just in our backyard, and we walk laps around the backyard and up the long driveway. So that keeps us entertained for about 5 minutes. But just the Winter Olympics being on, I've watched a fair bit of that. Yeah, find things to entertain yourself.
Are you an expert? What's your specialty now with the Winter Olympics? Because I'm a couch.
We've watched a lot of the speed skating. Insane. And then we just watched the speed skating relays last night, and they just like push each other along, and most of the time every race someone crashes, so it's really exciting sport. And then you think someone's won, but they've done something at the start of the race that disqualifies them, and then it's crazy. I understand why Stephen Bradbury did what he did, because it happens all the time.
It's amazing.
And he had to get there. Now I've got a way better, understanding for he had to actually get to the final. So fantastic.
So tough. I saw someone tweet the other day that the Winter Olympics is just basically a whole selection of dumb ways to die. I thought that was pretty much summed
it
up. I think
I may have seen a similar tweet, yeah.
But Hayley, you guys have had a big road trip. You travelled home on the weekend via Tassie. Didn't get the W, which I'm sure would have been nice to get it. But I wonder if there are things that you'll take away from that game as you face the second half of the season.
It was a really big day in general, the one where, we flew to Tassie and played and then flew home. I think, the day started, our bags had to be down by 8, and then we didn't get here to the Airbnb till 1 a.m. Perth time, which is 4 a.m. Melbourne time. So it was a very, very long day. And, we didn't get the win, which is a little bit disappointing. We would have loved to have finished it, with an impeccable record. It wasn't to be, but I think if you think back about what we were able to do over the time that we were there, and I think everyone's pretty proud of that. And I think it just gives you, and I think, look, this week is another week that's pretty disrupted. And if we can get through this one, then we can get through anything, and to get a bit more stability back when everyone's home will be awesome. I think we'll be better off for it in the long run.
Yeah, take us through being on the road, because I'm a real homebody, and when you're in, when you finally get home to your own state, you've been away, just that relief and how relaxed and how at home you feel. You didn't get that, and you were extraordinary on the road, and you were looking like you were having an absolute ball. Were there positives from having that group all together for such a long time?
Yeah, definitely. You've got a lot of positives there. Like, there's the negatives around, you not being at home and things were changing all the time. We couldn't get confirmation on, and still can't really get confirmation on anything. Yeah, there's certainly a lot of positives that come out of it when you got a group together, you got a team together to just hang out with each other. I learned so many things about my teammates that I didn't know before. We had some real honest, open conversations that were difficult, at the time, and to share things about yourself. But we all bond as a group really well. And we already had that before we went away, but it's just a bit stronger now that we've had more time together.
I saw on your social, or one of the social media channels, graduation ceremony.
Yeah.
The other day, and it just made me think of all of the things that you guys, that you miss out on when you're on the road. Were there some other big things that people missed out on?
Steph Kane, she's in our leadership group, but she's missing her sister's wedding on the weekend, which is devastating because, she was supposed to be back for it. She misses it by one day being in quarantine. So, yeah, that's pretty upsetting. I know a bunch of people missed birthdays and, kids' birthdays and things like that. So yeah, there was certainly a fair few things that people miss, and a lot of those things like weddings, they don't come around very often, and you hope there's only one per lifetime for that person. And if it's someone like your sister, and Steph's really close with her family, she would have been in the bridal party, if not the maid of honor, I'm not sure. To miss those kinds of things, you don't get that back, unfortunately, so it is really disappointing for those girls.
That's so tough. I think, that there are so many things that you're all facing. And when I think, when I say you all, I mean all of the AFLW, it's been a really tough season. You have really stepped up. It's great to see you in this role as captain. We love watching your football. We've watched you since the first season, but I think there's been some talk about you changed your approach a little bit with fitness. How's it all going for you?
Yeah, I think I just worked really hard in the off season. I was probably disappointed with my season last season. Like it wasn't bad, and the season before that was never bad. But it just wasn't at the expectation that I hold myself to. So, I've got Turbo there as a role model. I watch what she does, and you know, half the reason why she is as good as she is because she. I don't actually think she ever gets tired. She never looks tired. She's just that fit that she can get to every contest and impact it because she's fitter than everyone else. So I took a leaf out of her book and trained really hard to improve my fitness, improve my 2K time, all that kind of thing. And then the other stuff sort of falls into place a little bit. A lot of people have said, oh, you became captain and then you got better. But I think regardless of that, I get it gives you an extra responsibility and maybe a little bit more of, you know, I've got to perform here to help everyone else. But I would have liked to think that it would have happened anyway with the work that I put in the off season.
That doesn't happen for everyone. I mean, often people are made captain and their form does suffer because they're concentrating on all of the other things that you have to do on the field. So I think that you are exceptional and it's quite extraordinary to be able to take your game next level at the same time as taking your leadership there as well. Do you have a leadership philosophy? Like, have you thought how about what the type of leader that you want to be and how you implement that?
I wouldn't say like I have a philosophy or a plan or anything like that. I think I'm really lucky that I've got a really strong group around me that support me really well. So my leadership group as well as the club itself, and we have a leadership consultant who works with me quite closely. I've got Cara Antonio, who's still around and helps me a lot to like bounce ideas off. She's done this before, and that certainly helps with taking the load off. In terms of what kind of leader I want to be, I guess my thing's always been leading by example, and I think if I can't do that on the field, that my leadership style is not working too well. So I guess my performance helps the leader that I want to be at the moment, and leading by example. And a lot of people said to me, you know, don't change too much because you were voted in because of what you've done up to this point. So I've tried to keep it pretty consistent and not try and be the hero all the time and just, you know, you just go about my business and bring girls along with me.
What's it like captaining your former captain? Is that awkward?
Nah, it's not. It's definitely not awkward. It's really nice to have her there. I often find myself, you know, when I'm giving pre-game speeches or whatnot, my eyes will dart to hers, and she just gives me the nod, and I'm like, yep, good. I'm saying the right thing. We're okay. Jaddy's on my side. We're all good. So I definitely, do lean on her a bit, and I'm rather have her there than not. I don't know what that feels like for her. I know it'd be really weird her not taking the lead on things. Yeah, she's been incredible to help me, and she's been super busy with work and whatnot. So it's been nice for her to have that little bit less load in terms of leadership.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Trent Cooper, and you're listening to my equal favourite podcast, The Outer Sanctum.
Watching Freo, I mean, there's like gymnastics and stuff at the end of the game. Everybody looks like they're having a ball together. Are you helping lead that? Where's that coming from?
I think we just got some good characters in the group, to be honest. And it is allowing everyone to have their spotlight. And, you know, Emma O'Driscoll is just an outlier in that fact that she is crazy all the time. And the fact that she can do a backflip is just, well, of course she can. And then
what did the fitness staff say about that?
Well, look, the first time she ever did it, they weren't all that happy. They were worried she's going to hurt herself doing it. But I think, like you said, the pure joy that everyone gets out of her doing that, and, you know, the lift everyone gets, they're okay with her. They're okay with her doing it. And like even the girls on their recorder, I don't know if you've seen any of that social media, yes. But you know, they've made up versions of songs with a recorder, done dances and all sorts of different things and performed them for the group. And it's just that real special thing that you wouldn't get if you're not, you know, if you're not in a hub type situation. So we've been really lucky to have all of that. And yeah, we just feed off that to go through the rest of the season.
My pressing question on that is, who thought to pack a recorder?
Well, believe it or not, the recorder's been a thing for years. Laura Pugh, I have a podcast with Freo, and we get one of the girls on each week and just talk through their sort of story. And it was the very first year that we did it. I think we're in season three of the podcast now. So a couple of years ago, yeah, Laura Pugh brought in her recorder to the podcast, yeah, played a song, and we had to guess what it was, and it was terrible. She didn't actually know how to play the recorder. So it kind of started from there, and then it's just been there the whole way through, and it's made a big resurrection this year.
Oh, it's honestly, the pod is so good. Like when you had Anne McMahon on, I was sobbing, right, listening to her story. I was like, I was a hot mess. And then earlier this week, thinking you were making up words, which made me laugh heaps. And yeah, Emma's face was so like full of like, oh my God, are you serious? And Lucy and I felt very seen then, because neither of us can say the word tribunal. Like it's just tribunal. It just sounds wrong. And so we felt really connected there to Ellie. We were like, yeah, we get that. Tribunal is a made up word as well. Who can we expect to hear from next? I mean, who's your next uncovered story?
We just did one yesterday that hasn't been released yet with Sarah Veria. So she was rising star a couple of rounds ago. So yeah, learned a bit. I didn't actually know a whole lot about her backstory. So yeah, that's a good one. Sometimes it's good. I learn more, you know, about my teammates, you know, having to do a bit of research on them, see what I can find about them, and then ask them the rest of the questions. So she's the next one on, but we honestly just do it on the fly. Whoever comes up, we think, oh yep, let's go, because we've gone through most of it. Now it's kind of bringing in the new girls, the debutantes, all that kind of thing, because we've done all the older girls, but we might have to start recycling them again soon, because we're running out of people.
That's right. People change, you'll find out.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it's still funny the next time you tell all the stories you told 3 years ago.
Absolutely. It's a great marker. And, you know, we're just celebrating 5 years of the AFLW. When you think back, because you've been there from the start, you were the first draft pick for the Fremantle Football Club. What have you seen change?
A lot has changed in that time, both, you know, at Freo with the whole AFLW, you know, skill level, all that kind of thing. But I think for us, you know, from the first year to now, we have pretty much a whole new coaching staff. I think even just the facilities when we first started, we were still at Fremantle Oval. They had the absolute bare minimum there. I think we shared one toilet. We got changed in the lecture theatre for a little while there because they just didn't have the facilities for us there. We moved to Cockburn pretty quickly, so that was probably only the first pre-season there, but we moved to Cockburn and obviously we've got some state-of-the-art facilities there now. They've done up our change rooms and there's plans in place to do that up even further and have our own section, you know, somewhere else in the facility. So it certainly feels, and I guess just the general feel around the club is that where it is one, and we are just as much part of the club as the boys. And it's incredible, like when I became captain and I had my first press conference down in the lecture theatre, they sent out an email to all the staff and said, like, if you want to come and watch it, you can. And there were so many of just, you know, finance and, you know, media team, like all of that. They all just came, the event scene, they just came to watch it and support me, which, yeah, it was incredible for me to see that and feel that. And, you know, have the cheers walking into the room to do a press conference. I was just like, this is insane. But it's just such a nice feel around the club.
I know you must just be thinking, like, I know it's footy parlance, but one week at a time, right? Who are you playing? Where are you playing? Do you have to quarantine? But everybody's talking about players being on the edge, you know, really finding it hard in COVID, playing in the heat, you know, all of the injury toll, all of that. Lucy and I often talk about how we've got a 10-year plan and we think that's great, but the 10-year plan could start tomorrow, in my opinion, and it would be awesome. So what would you like to see happen?
I guess, like, the main one for everyone is becoming at least more full-time or whatnot, but we started having conversations about that. For someone like me, who I may just squeeze in if I play, you know, till I'm into my 30s, maybe, but you know, for me, it's not something that is going to be long-term for me. So it's a real hard time because you've got half the group that will be able to, you know, they'll be at towards the end of their career, but they will, you know, get a few years full-time. And then there's the other half that, you know, it's just not going to happen for them. So the natural progression is to make it full-time some point in the near future. But working through that, I guess, is difficult. I don't know if you can really fix the playing in the heat, you know, the hottest part of the year at the moment. I think that again comes with the full time and moving it to fit in with the boys. But even then, you know, there's so much with broadcast and fitting all of those games in. They barely fit in all the men's ones as it is. So then to fit in a whole nother fixture of women's games to the broadcast, and we don't want to lose the broadcast for full time, and that's my opinion. I wouldn't want to lose the broadcast is really important to grow our game and for people to see it. If you can't see it, it's not going to grow. It'll just sort of fizzle out. So there's so many different factors that work into it. But I think the number one working towards that full time and making it viable for girls to put their careers or whatnot on hold and, you know, get paid enough that they're not losing out by playing AFLW.
You're a physio, Hayley. How are you balancing your work with this?
Yeah, I'm actually not working at the moment, so that works well for me. I finished up at a job late last year and haven't picked up another one through this time, so it's been really good for me, to be honest. It was hard at the time because it was more so, it wasn't that I wanted to leave the job, it was more that the whole uncertainty around football wasn't going to work for the business, and so we kind of came to an agreement that okay, we'll finish it there. So that was really hard because essentially I lost my job and that stability. But in hindsight, I think then not long after that, I think it was a couple of weeks, I then became captain, and then that's filled my time with plenty of different things. So it's probably been a blessing in disguise, I guess. And then after the season, I'll pick something back up, and whether that's part-time or full-time, I don't even know. I've kind of just parked that at the moment. So it's been awesome not working, and I haven't had that stress of trying to work whilst being away. Not that I really could have anyway, but I was sort of basically managing the clinic that I was at before, and I just wouldn't have been able to do that remotely.
You've got Carlton this weekend, and the last time you both played each other, they got a real jump on you, and then you came back. That last quarter was quite something to behold. I was lucky to be sitting in the stand watching it. How are you approaching this game?
Yeah, we definitely don't want to let them get the jump that badly this time round, for sure. But I think it's just getting everyone into a good mental space this week, and we've had a nice deload this week to try and freshen up a little bit and go into that game. There's no excuses anymore. Like, we're back in our home state, and
oh, I think you've got a few.
we've got no excuses. We try not to use any excuses. No, we just want to go out there and play our brand of football. And, you know, back in WA, we have nice big grounds over here, and it suits our playing style. So we'll take confidence in that, and being back at Freo Oval will be incredible to have our crowd back and, you know, have some support behind us. Yeah, it'll be awesome.
I was lucky enough pre-pandemic to get to Freo Oval at the start of 2020 and watch you guys play Brisbane, and it was so much fun. I love that ground. Also, Freo, the area is so cool and great. Yeah. I saw Sabrina Duffy down the street after the game and I got properly starstruck. I was like, oh, my God.
She still talks about it.
I still talk about it all the time. Remember that time I saw Sabrina Duffy? Very exciting. Can I ask, does the air raid siren give you a fright? Because it gave me, every time it blew, I nearly jumped out of my skin. So every time the quarter siren goes, don't you have to recover from that?
No, that just sounds normal to us. I don't know what everyone goes on about with the siren. I honestly don't even notice it.
I get scared by trains going past. That's probably a personal personal thing. We also want to talk to you about your coach, Trent Cooper, who we love. We just think he's a total legend. Can you give us some insights into him that we just don't know, that we're not seeing on the outside?
He's just a big softie, to be honest. I don't know if that comes across much. Like, he speaks really well and whatnot, and he says, you know, all the right things, but he's definitely a big softie and very emotionally intelligent man. And I think with 30 girls in a team, I think you have to be. And I think it probably sets him apart from a lot of coaches that, you know, without knowing, you know, some people, you know, they may be an emotional person, but you just don't see it on the outside. But Trent certainly is. And he has a really great connection with everyone, and it may be in different ways. And he's good at that, of actually tailoring his interaction with people to that person. So I have a really great relationship with Trent, and I feel comfortable talking to him about literally anything. So, and I think that sets him apart from most coaches that I've had previously, if not all. He's probably the best one that I've had in terms of just, yeah, being able to connect with people. And coaching football and knowing what you're talking about in terms of football is one thing, but being able to get girls or anyone to play for you and get them to do what you want them to do is another thing. And I think that's what he does really, really well.
And you're all still talking after the road trip.
Yes, exactly. We're all still talking, so it didn't go too badly.
Hey, there's a doco coming out. Did you have, you had cameras with you? That's coming out on Friday evening. Is that right?
Yeah. So we had one of our media guys, Will, he pretty much filmed the whole entire thing. And we actually had a viewing of the documentary last night after training. And it was, I think it's 45 minutes worth of content from our trip. I think there was 70 hours or something that was filmed. So it was a massive effort for them to go through it and get it out so quickly. It was a great insight to what it was like. It's pretty positive. It's all the nice fluffy stuff. But it was really nice to watch back. You know, you kind of forget, it's quite a long time, you know, 3 weeks from what was happening at the start all the way through to the end. But it's nice to have that there, and we can go back and reflect. I think it probably means less to us now because we're still, it's happening at the moment. But I think, you know, years down the track, you go back and have a look at that and you go, wow, that's what we did. That's what we had to do. And that was pretty incredible. So it was, it's coming out on Friday for everyone. So it'll be good for everyone to see.
Well, it makes me cry. Like the Anne McMahon. I'm a crier. I'll
definitely cry. It might make you cry. There's some nice music in the background, the dramatic music.
Well, that'll be something for all fans to watch, not just Fremantle Docker fans, because we all love the W. And I imagine that you're going to be greeted by a very warm and welcoming crowd when you play back in front of your fans on the weekend. Enjoy that, laugh it up, enjoy Airbnb life for the next little bit. And thank you so much for having this chat with us.
No worries. Thank you so much for having me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.